Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Chapter number 23 of the Psalm. What a beautiful, beautiful psalm this is. If you can sit through these studies and not fall in love with Psalm 23, you just have a spiritual malady that I don't even know who can fix it. But this is just a marvelous psalm. You think of David. You have to do this as you read Psalm 23. You must look at the psalm through the eyes of the sheep. David dons the sheep's clothing and writes Psalm 23 from the eyes and the mind of the sheep. Now, only a shepherd can do that. Only a shepherd would know what the sheep loves, what the sheep fears, and how the sheep responds, and so on. In Psalm number 23, I am amazed at how this Bible is put together. Now, this may never amaze you, because you may never do enough study for it to do it, but the Bible amazes me in the way God, not only in leading the men and breathing upon them to write, but the manner in which the Bible is arranged as well, God has directed. And Psalm 22, 23, and 24, being where they are. Now, let's remember that these psalms did not have numbers. And yet when they were arranged to be put in the canon of the scriptures, they fell together like a hand fitting in a glove. In Psalm 22, if you recall, we saw the cross. In Psalm 23, there is a shepherd's crook. In Psalm 24, there is the sovereign's crown. It is Christ yesterday, today, and tomorrow, or literally forevermore. So when we come to Psalm 23, we're dealing with the ministry of Christ today. We are the sheep of his pasture, right? And I've asked you to read along with this, John chapter number 10. Now, I have a report that one of our ladies is reading this, muchly so. I wonder how many more are doing that. How many of you have read John chapter 10 since we started this study? Well, great. That's better than some of my seminary students. Most of them thought they could cram in the last 5 minutes and pass the exams. You know how it is, right? Yeah. Normally that doesn't happen. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Someone asked me this morning, said, are we going to, I shall not want tonight? I said, no. We're still being shepherds. The Lord is my shepherd. I want you to do something for me for just a moment. Let's, at the beginning of this study tonight, I want you to close your eyes and just imagine yourself being a sheep and say these words, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Glory. When we can say that, and when we can say it with conviction, now anyone can say it, but if we can say that with conviction, a multitude of things have happened to bring that to pass.
Yes.
Do you know what a sheep does? He just acts like a sheep. You know what a shepherd does?
Yes, sir.
Acts like a shepherd. In order to be a shepherd, there's something you must do as far as a sheep is concerned. Many things, reality. But that shepherd leads and the sheep follow. The shepherd never drives his sheep. As a matter of fact, sheep cannot be driven. If you try to drive sheep, they just go in circles. Mingle among each other, just round and around and around. I at one time in my ministry, I wondered why the Lord calls us as the church, sheep. After pastoring for nearly four decades, I don't have to ask that question anymore. I have found of a truth that sheep truly are missing some abilities. I said that kindly. Sheep are challenged muchly so mentally. They don't see well. They don't hear well. They don't obey well. They're prone to wonder. The songwriter had it right when he said, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for the courts above. The psalmist in Psalm 23 is just saying to us, the shepherd leads, the sheep follow. Do you know what a good sheep is? A good sheep is a following sheep. Do you know what a good shepherd is? A good shepherd is a leading shepherd. Never driving the sheep, but leading the sheep. Feeling what the sheep feel. Knowing what the sheep know. Understanding how they respond to his voice and how they react to circumstances about them. I'll tell you, one of the greatest lessons you'll ever learn is to learn that sheep are very unsettled. And if they ever get scared, frightened, it's hard to get them settled back down. And listen to me, the only thing that will settle the sheep when they've been frightened is the voice of the shepherd. I want to approach the shepherd as far as his instruments of labor are concerned tonight. Every shepherd would have a bag. Now, I want you to understand that I'm not talking about motorcycle and four-wheel driving shepherds. You do understand that. We're talking about shepherds who walk on their feet with the sheep in the Holy Land thousands of years ago. Shepherds today use four-wheelers, airplanes. But the shepherds back then didn't have four-wheelers and they didn't have airplanes. They had feet and legs and they walked with the sheep. They stayed with the sheep. That being so, that shepherd knew that there would be times that problems would arise in the flock. Sheep get injured. They injure themselves. Sheep stray. Sheep are fearful. They get frightened easily. And so the shepherd has some things that he carries with him as he shepherds his sheep. Let's look at some of those things. Now, the rod and the staff is mentioned later, and we will mention that later, and I only mention it now. We will dissect those things when we come to them in the text. But the shepherd at this point has a bag. We call it a script. The shepherds called it a script. And in that bag, which was made of either goat skin or sheep skin, he carries some things that are necessary for his daily work. I don't know that you and I would go out with a flock of sheep on a hillside without something for ourselves and for the sheep. If you would, then you're not very smart. Today we'd pack Gatorade, peanut butter and bananas, moon pies, Coca-Colas, and all kinds of things of that nature. But back then they didn't have those things. But they did have some things that they carried with them and were very useful in what they did. Let's look at them for the next few moments tonight. First of all, that shepherd would have a flute. You've heard songs in the night. A flute was made of a reed, and the shepherds would learn to play those flutes. It said on the hillside in the land of Israel in days gone by, those shepherds could be heard all over those hillsides playing those flutes at night. I have actually heard this. The first time we went to Israel was back before all of this dividing and pulling apart and giving to the Palestinians, which are not Palestinians, which are just blatant Arabs that want to try to steal from Israel what God has given them. Hello. But we actually heard those shepherds on the hillsides as they played those flutes at night. You could step out on the balcony or walk out in the street, even in Jerusalem. We actually stayed on the Mount of Olives then, and you could hear those shepherds playing those flutes on the hillsides. That flute was necessary to calm the minds of the sheep so they could rest at night. The shepherd would sing a while, he'd play a while, he'd talk a while, he'd play a while, he'd sing a while. We often think as a shepherd, what does he do anyhow? I've often wondered how they lived longer than a few years, because there's very little rest in the life of a shepherd. He's awake while the sheep are resting to protect the sheep. He's awake as he leads the sheep out into the pastures and down to the water brooks and into the shade and back into the fold. He can't do that asleep. No, he must continually be aware of what's going on about him, because the sheep are defenseless, and he then must be their defender. Did you ever wonder why David said, "He is my high tower"? Not just once, but several times. He is my high tower. What he's saying is, my guard is constantly about me and constantly alert, so I don't have to fear. But can you imagine that little sheep at night? He's had a rough day going to the fields to eat, and he's filled his belly with the grass and the foliage that the shepherd led him to. And through the heat of the day, he's set in the shade, and now he's been brought back to the fold, and at night, sounds permeate the air much more so than they do in the daylight. Did you ever notice the clock on the wall? You never hear that clock all day long. But let nightfall come and you put your head on the pillow and here's this. Why can't you hear that in the daylight? Because at night it gets silent and you can hear all the sounds. And those sheep are hearing all of the sounds. Sounds that make them fearful. The lions are growling. The serpents are hissing. The beasts of prey are making their noises. And the little sheep is restless. His head is turned from point to point because of what he hears. And then the shepherd begins to play. And when the shepherd starts playing, he doesn't hear all those other sounds.
Amen.
Now what he hears,
yes,
is the music,
yes,
from the shepherd. There has never, never been a saint of God that's worth his weight in salt that God hasn't come to in the restless state of his life and just calmed his fears.
Yes.
And all of those noises, all of those sounds that made us fearful just moments ago have faded away, and all we can hear now,
hallelujah, hallelujah,
is the voice and the music that the shepherd plays.
Yes.
Glory.
Yes, sir.
He giveth songs in the night. So the flute then is a comfort to the sheep. Secondly, not only does he carry a flute with him, but the script itself, or the bag. I told you before that the bag is made from sheepskin or goatskin, and in this bag he carries all of his belongings and the necessary things for the sheep. The shepherd's bag was a rather large bag. Well, you can imagine a full-grown sheep or a full-grown goat, and they take the skin of that and make the bag. You could put a whole lot of things in there, or a whole lot of one thing in there if you wanted to. So he's carrying this bag as he shepherds the sheep. In this bag, we have oil, many kinds of oil, olive oils and oils that are mixed together for medicinal purposes, both for himself and for the sheep. If you read on in the text, you find that thou anointest my head with oil. When we get there, you may not be here, but for a part of that particular lesson. Matter of fact, I may leave early, but we'll try to get back in here in time to get it all together after we've made about three loops around this building. But there's oil in that. And what a promise that oil. The Holy Spirit. God's gracious Spirit. And the Spirit of God is our help, our health, our healing. The Spirit of God is holy in every aspect. And every time the Spirit of God is on the scene, something takes place.
Yes.
And it's something that is eternal, not just temporal, but eternal. In the Old Testament economy, in the tabernacle, you remember as we studied that some time ago now, that tabernacle had a lampstand. It's called the menorah. And it is it's made of one pure beaten work of gold. And the text in the book of Exodus says, and his bowls and his knops. Did you get that? His. It makes personal this lampstand. One pure beaten work of gold speaks of Jesus Christ, but the oil in those bowls that make the light is the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
By the way, the only thing in that lampstand that could ever picture you and I as believers is the wick. And the wick burns away and must be cleaned morning and night. How about that? The oil is precious and the gold is precious. And the light that comes forth from those seven lamps on that lampstand shines first upon the candlestick itself. Would to God our charismatic friends would learn that the purpose of the Spirit of God in this world is to point to Jesus, to show the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not going to speak of himself, but he'll remind you of all things whatsoever I have done, Jesus said. So the shepherd has oil. Let me give you just one little use of that oil. We'll deal with the rest of this when we get to the anointing. How many of you have ever been around cattle of any sort? Did you ever notice those little old flies that want to fly in the nostrils of the cattle? They're nasal flies. And those nasal flies will get into that mucus lining in the nostrils of the sheep and lay their eggs. And that larva will travel from the nostrils into the brain of that sheep, and he goes stark raving mad. The shepherd takes that oil and puts it in the nostrils of those sheep. And when those flies try to land in that sheep's nostrils, they can't penetrate the oil. They head out and go somewhere else and leave the sheep alone. Yeah. I shout time and time again just to know that my shepherd,
yes, sir,
has thought it all through. And wherever I need protection, he's there. 24 hours a day, he's there and aware of where I need that protection. And before the varmint ever shows up, the Holy Ghost,
yeah,
has already set up the defense.
Yes,
well, how about that? So the oil is in the script. And then there's a sling. Every shepherd has a sling. Gary, when we were children, we tried the slings. And we got to where we could do pretty good with those things. Yeah. If we was inside, we could hit the side of the barn. But now flip shots.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's another thing. Oh, don't ever give me a flip shot and try to run. You're not going to make it. I don't care how quick you are. You're not going to make it. Amen.
Amen.
But that shepherd has a sling. Now, the sling and the flip shot's quite a bit different. The flip shot's made with a fork, you know, and the elastic pieces and a little pouch back here to put the rock in or the marble. I love to shoot flip shots with marbles. When I was in Florida and we lived down in the Chester area, I had a neighbor that was about as far from here to the highway out there. And one morning I was up studying, there's a big old rabbit sitting out there in that field between our houses. I went and got my flip shot. Got one of my famous marbles and put in that flip shot. And I turned loose of that thing. That marble hit directly underneath that rabbit and left the ground and hit the side of their house. And it sounded like a cannon at 5 o'clock in the morning. I turned my light off. But later on in the day, I asked him, I said, hey, did you hear any noise this morning? Sounded like somebody shot a gun or something. Sister Margaret said, I heard something. Her husband said, I didn't hear nothing. But she said, I heard something. I said, well, I shot the side of your house with my flip shot this morning. I was trying to get a rabbit. Oh, is that what it was? I'm just glad it wasn't a window. The shepherd got proficient with the sling.
Yes, sir.
Now let me show you something. And we miss this in the study of this quite often. That sling is there for correction as well as protection.
Yes, sir.
When a little sheep would get away from the shepherd and kind of get out yonder somewhere, that shepherd would take a stone, put in that sling and sling it. And normally sling it beyond him to start off with to get his attention. Let him know that he needed to get back where he needs to be. Well, if the little sheep didn't pay any attention, then he'd put another stone in there. And this time he didn't shoot beyond him. He shooted at him. Now he has his attention. Undivided attention. And that little sheep makes his way back over. Did you ever notice how a sheep runs? A sheep reminds me, in its running, reminds me of a short-legged mule. And if you've never seen a mule run, you've never, never laughed. It is Barney Fife with four legs. That's exactly what it is. But that shepherd as well. When the wild beast would try to approach to his sheep, he'd take that sling, put that stone in that sling, and David would slay the giant. It said some of the most fierce warriors in Israel were shepherds who had learned on the hillsides of Israel how to perfect the use of the sling. So the shepherd has a sling. Then the shepherd has a lamp. You didn't know they had lamps back then, did you? Well, they didn't look like the lamps of our day. Most of you folks don't know what a lamp is. When I was a boy, I'm telling you the truth, before God right there sets my mama, and if she don't tell you that telling you the truth, and she's not going home at midnight, you can take her. Mama would hand me some newspapers and get the lamps down, and I took the globes off of those lamps and took those newspapers and cleaned the soot and the smoke from the night before out of those globes of those lamps, so when we lit them tonight, there'd be light rather than a flame inside all that black stuff that was left from the night before. That shepherd had a lamp quite different than ours. Yet the lamp was used for the same purposes except one. Sheep have bad circulation in their feet. And often the sheep's feet would get cold and they couldn't walk properly. The shepherd would lay that sheep down and set that lamp near his feet. Let it sit there for a few moments and that little sheep would bounce up. You know how sheep react when they're happy? No warning, just yeah. Up now. You know how sheep, two-legged saints ought to react when they're rejoicing in the Lord? Yeah. Just enjoy what God's done for you and don't be fearful. Hey, they'll get out of your way. As a matter of fact, they may just leave you by yourself. But you may find out you're better off, you and God together, than you would be with all that crowd around you anyway to hinder you from enjoying what God's done for you.
Yes.
So his feet are warm now. And he's rejoicing. Amen. And letting the shepherd know, I'm all right now.
Yeah.
Doing fine right now. But the light was as well a lamp for the pathway. Who has not heard thy word as a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path? Where do you suppose that came from? Absolutely, from the shepherd. They used those lights to show their way when they didn't get into the fold before sundown. And often that happened. Very often it would be hot right on up till sundown, and the shepherd would not bring the sheep out of the place of their ruminating, which is a marvelous word and we shall dissect later on, out of their place of ruminating to take them to the fold because it's so hot. Now he needs a lamp. Now he needs a light to help him find his way. Did any of you catch on anywhere in there? Did you get a little bit of shock from another world?
Yeah.
Are you aware that in the darkness of this world you must have a light?
Yes.
Are you aware that you can't find the path alone? Are you aware that the dangers are there that will destroy you if you're not following the light? Here's a little thing that I've said to students and parishioners down through the years. Follow the light. If God gives you a little bit of light, you follow that light. And you learn that as you follow the little bit of light that God gives you, he gives you more light.
Right. Yes.
And more light.
Yes.
And more light. How many times have you learned a little tidbit and you followed that and you found out, boy, that's not a tidbit, that's an ocean. That's a tidal wave. That's a tsunami. Follow the light. If you follow the light, you'll never walk in darkness. If you follow the light, you'll always find more light. The problem is we don't necessarily follow the light that God gives us. We're prone to turn our heads and go in another direction. I wonder how many young preachers that I have spoken through to through the years, and they said, "Now, Brother Lai, I just can't see that." Well, let's go to the book. Look at this verse right here. All right? He looks at that verse. And I said, "Now, put your attention on the verse and what the verse says. Just digest that little bit of light."
Yes.
You know what happens? That light becomes a burning inferno. And it's not long till they're saying, "I see it. I see it. I see it." It's amazing, isn't it? Follow the light. Not only is there a lamp as well in this bag, but there is a coat. Shepherd's coat. Guess what a shepherd's coat is made from? Wool. How about cotton and nylon and rayon and all of those ons, huh? No. No, that shepherd's coat is made from sheep skin. What's on sheepskin? Somebody just said it. What did you say? Wool on sheepskin. Amazing, isn't it? He has a wool coat. A reversible wool coat. In the heat of the day, he wears that coat with the wool out to reflect the heat. In the cool of the night, he reverses that coat and keeps the heat in.
Yep.
But let me tell you something else that coat does. That coat says to those sheep out there, "He is one of us." Now, if you didn't catch that, I'm not even going to try to help you. When the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, came into this world, he put on a human coat.
Yes.
And the purpose of putting on that coat was to identify with us. He became one of us.
Yes.
A shepherd would put his coat on at night and sit down, begin to play, begin to sing. And those sheep form a circle around him. It's almost picturesque. If you've ever seen this, it's almost picture. It's almost a perfect circle. They all find their little slot and fit in all around the shepherd. And they lay there all night long while the shepherd in his coat as one of them sings to them and plays to them and lullabies them to sleep. It'll be good to know that he has identified with me. He knows my downsettings and my uprisings. He knows my aches. He knows my pains. He knows my sickness. He knows my sin. He knows everything about me. And yet he loves me because he's my shepherd.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. Let's look at this one more time and I'm finished. The Lord is my shepherd says that the sheep is willing to follow and the shepherd is willing to lead. The Lord is my shepherd. He has everything I need. Joseph has revealed himself to his brethren and told them to go home, get their daddy and their families, and bring them into Egypt, where he'll care for them through all of this drought that's upon the lands. And when he says to them, go get daddy and go get your families. He says to them, I've given you wagons. I've given you camels. I've given you asses. I've given you provender for the way. And then he says to them, see that you fall not out by the way. Don't get distracted along the way and fail to bring daddy and your families in. Oh, my soul. My soul, my soul. God help us to hear the voice of the shepherd. And as we hear the voice of the shepherd, God help us to realize that we have a responsibility. See that you fall not out by the way. Father, I'm glad you've made love to us tonight.